You know, today, Memorial Sunday is one of the Sundays hold most dearest. While the world celebrates other things, we want to take time and take a moment to celebrate those who have gone before us, especially over this last year. And I want to thank you, family and friends, who have joined us today to share this moment with us. You cannot imagine what it means to us, because we fully recognize what your family members have done to bring us here to where we are as a congregation. Many of you know Earl. Margaret expresses her condolences. She couldn't be with us. She's with her family members traveling today. But you know Earl, those of you who knew him, you know, he was always ready with direction for a pastor. At least I know that about Earl. He is a good guy and solid and worked hard here around the church. Many of you know Darlene, Larry's wife, who passed this year very unexpectedly. And we were all sorry for her loss. And Darlene was one who had a very big heart, worked in her surgery ward, had the time to rescue many different animals, right, Larry? And your pastor inherited one of those, didn't he? But she did. She worked hard on those things and certainly cared well for you, Larry, and we miss her as well. Many of you know Wags Groover. I was amazed to discover why he had that nickname at his funeral, Wags, Wilson Anthony Groover. That's where that came from, I guess. Isn't that right, Nancy? But many of you know Wags. Wags served faithfully not only here, but in the McCain United Methodist Church, and did a lot to strengthen and further the kingdom. And one of the things Wags shared was that how much he communed. He's kind of, if I had more time with Wags, I think we would have got along great a lot longer, because he communed with God a lot of times in the outdoors. In the outdoor activities that he had on his motorcycle, or hunting, fishing, all those kinds of things. And he is well missed. And of course, Wilda Hammer, her testimony of faith. And we thank you, Norma Jean, Ruth, for being here, and all the friends and family. I was away when Wilda passed and left our congregation for her final congregation. But she was one of those saints who built our church. It was her patient service and faithful love as she shared life with the women. She was of a generation that no longer exists in the same way that it does, where women were allowed to be at home all the time and they could give themselves very fully to the congregation of faith and the life of the church. And many of us know that we can't do that anymore. But this church, this building, all of that we see, Wilda was a part of and brought into life and brought into being. And so we remember her this day as well. And we give you thanks. And family members that are here today, we want you to know that the roses that are on the altar are there, that we would like you to take one of those in remembrance of your loved one. And we want to thank you. Though they changed your lives, they certainly changed this place and all of us. And we give you great thanks. And congregation, could you show your appreciation to those who have gone before us? Thank you all. And so today, I want to look at some scripture in light of all that we've been celebrating and sharing. And I also want to, one more time for Jim, for that beautiful song that he did. We show you appreciation for Jim. And we're very thankful for that. And I hope that you take time to join us all out at the peninsula tomorrow. I was trying to think of what could we share and what could we do. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, who had seen much in life, had gone many places, had been part of building congregations all over his world, not only in the Israel in which he grew up, but into the Greek and Roman worlds throughout the whole earth. He planted and grew churches and invested his life in congregations. And one of the things that he said in his letter, in several different letters, was, "As you have seen in me, I want you to do. If you're not sure how to live out this life of faith, remember me. And remember what I taught you, and remember what I did when I was in front of your eyes." Just like he and the other apostles remembered Jesus Christ. We stand on a foundation of faith as those who have gone before us. There were those who went before them and those who went before him, all the way back to those who saw Jesus with their own eyes and had the wonderful gift of walking and ministering and listening and seeing and beholding our Lord and Savior themselves as he walked this earth in their day. And they have been faithful and true to share with us what that was like and what it meant and what Jesus had in store for each of us. And so Paul is one of those who passes on to us a few things, and I wanted to get our heads around a couple phrases. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he opens it up pretty magnificently. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, that is one who is sent to others, set apart for the gospel, the good news of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and designated son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace, we have received apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including yourselves, you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You are those beloved by God who are called and are saints. I want to stop there for a minute before we read on. You know, that word saint, you know, that means different things to different groups of God's people. I remember, you know, when I first heard the word saint, I used to think about those big paintings, you know, that would have like this glowing nimbus behind somebody's head. How many of you know the paintings I'm talking about? You know, you can find in certain churches, you go to certain weddings where you have to stand up and kneel and stand up and kneel. You know those churches? Okay, you know, you see a lot of those pictures with the glowing stuff all around. Nothing wrong with that, but their view of saints is a little different than the Scripture tells us, isn't it? Because here is Paul saying that all those following God are saints. That saints, being a saint is about belonging to Jesus. That when you belong to him, you are now his holy people. And so we remember holy people doesn't mean they were perfect people, amen? But they were God's people. Just as you and I, in all our imperfections, are God's people. See, he says, you saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he goes into this next section, and there are three things I want to point out, and then we're going to close with a passage from Philippians, and then we're going to go home to whatever celebrations you have planned for Memorial Day weekend. How's that sound? Sounds fun. So here's what he tells us, and what is Paul like? How are we to behave, if we wonder? And about those we remembered today, what were they like, the important things about them that help and sustain us in faith? He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers. Those we have remembered today remembered you in their prayers. They prayed for you. And can I say, congregation, we're not to disappoint them. We are to pray for one another. To honor all that they have done to make us who we are, we are to remember and to follow their example. He says, I pray for you. I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you, for I am eager that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Like the word eager. How many of you have been eager in your life? Have you ever been eager? I remember my sixth birthday, I got two big presents. It was back in the days when, you know, we weren't given tons and tons and tons of stuff for one little day of the year. There were a couple special things that we got, and that was all. How many of you kind of grew up that way? I don't know. I mean, I wish my parents would remember what they gave me, because they gave way too much stuff. I remember two things I got. The one thing was from my parents. They gave me a belt. It was a very special belt, because on this belt there were little loops, and in those loops were little plastic bullets. And on the side of that belt hung two holsters. And in those holsters, you know what was there? Right there. I had them cap guns. You remember the caps that had the roll that was red, and you had to get it in just right, and the trigger was double action, so it would push the cap up, and then sometimes it wouldn't. It would just slip, and you didn't get any. You know what I'm talking about, right? How many of you remember? Those are, days are gone. I don't even know if they existed. Isn't that a shame? But I remember I got that cap, and you know what I did? The first thing I did, I got that, and I got a straw hat. And you know what I did? I immediately ran to my room. I put that belt on, and of course, it had the little strings that you tie around your leg. And I came out just like this, ready to rumble. But that wasn't all, because Grandma and Grandpap Werner were there on that birthday. These are my dad's parents. Now, I did not know this tradition, but my grandparents, for every grandchild on their sixth birthday, they bought a brand new bicycle from Sears. So not only did I have my six shooters, I had my horse. I was eager. I was eager. How many say eager? Let's say eager. How many know I was eager that day? I was eager. You know, the first, I was so eager. I ran outside. Couldn't wait. I got that bicycle up there. No training wheels at all. I just jumped on it. And then I jumped and I pushed off. And I got on those pedals and collapsed on the other side and cut up my leg right here. Maybe a little too eager, right? I remember that day. I remember Dad pushing me and trying to learn it. You got to pedal. You got to pedal. It was a wonderful day. I was eager that day. You know, Paul is talking about that sense, that feeling. You see, I think sometimes I lose my eagerness to be what God wants me to be. The world beats us down, doesn't it? The world is rough on us of faith. You know, Billy Graham talked about how all the things that are in the world, how it just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And I've shared this expression before. He said, I'm shocked at what doesn't shock me anymore in the world. You know? There's a saint we can celebrate this day who passed on to glory this year. You know, there's something about the world that dulls our senses, dulls our spiritual acuity, and dulls my eagerness. But I need to remember that. And as I remember my grandparents, as I remember those who went before me in faith, it renews my eagerness because they were eager about the gospel. They were eager about loving their neighbors. They were eager about loving us. And I remember my grandparents were eager to see me that day. And I want to be eager to help others into faith. I want to be eager for my coworkers, for my neighbors, for my enemies even, to eager that they might know God. And Paul says, if you want to practice this faith and you're not sure what to do, be like me, be eager to share your life with other people, to open the doors of your home to strangers, to invite those you're not quite sure about to share time with you, even those you are sure that you don't want to spend time with. Spend time with them. Open your life to them. Be eager to embrace others, eager to open your life to one another, as Paul was eager to open his life to strangers in different towns. Eager to impart spiritual gifts to strengthen others. That we may be mutually encouraged, he says, by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brethren, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. Here's what he says next. Not only is he eager, he says this. Listen, in verse 14, I am under obligation. Everyone say obligation. How many of you have ever been obligated to do something? We all have, right? And not just the petty stuff like homework when we were growing up. We were obligated. There were consequences if we did it. But there are obligations that weigh on us. And if your eagerness wanes, remember your obligation. That as Christ loved you, you are to love one another. As Christ, as I have received forgiveness, I am to forgive. You know, those we've mentioned today, many of the things they did were because they were obligated to. And previous generations in our country understood, and society itself strengthened those obligations to family, to community, to the nation. We don't live in that time anymore, do we, church? How many of you know that? It seems almost that our culture is fragmenting in many ways. All the more reason that you and I are obligated to one another, to hold to one another, to care for one another, to build one another up. Paul said he is under obligation. Not only was he eager, he is under obligation, both to Greeks, to barbarians, to those outside the faith and inside the faith, that your Christian obligation is not just to be Christian for other Christians. Your Christian obligation, your obligation, in other words, to Jesus Christ himself, is to model his likeness to a lost and broken world. If they don't receive the good news from us, where will they receive it? Who will share with them if we do not? Thank God himself that all those we follow did not forget their obligations to those generations that came behind them, to you and I. Many of the times, how many of you know we got on their last nerve? How many times, do you know that there were days that they didn't want to come to church? They didn't like certain people. They weren't their best selves. They weren't kind. But they understood something. That after what Christ had done for them, how could they withhold themselves from him? Does that make sense? You see, you and I, if we belong to Jesus, we're obligated to him. The Bible says that when he got on the cross, he paid a price. He bought us. He paid a price for you and I. And now we belong to him. And as his true possessions, we're obligated not only to serve one another, but to serve this world. Both to the wise and the foolish, I am eager to preach the gospel to you. He finally closes how are we to live. He says, for I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Let's say not ashamed. Say eager, obligated, not ashamed. Not ashamed. Our culture wants to make you and I ashamed of believing. Wants to try to make an embarrassment of your faith. So that you're afraid to mention it. You're afraid to own what you believe. There are many different ways that they try. Paul understood that. It was true in his time as much as it's true now, maybe even more so for him. He was faithful to declare that he is not ashamed of the goodness of God and the good news that he brought. He was not ashamed at what Christ had done, nor should we. What is our message? That there is a God who loved us so much that he gave himself, his only son, to die for our sakes, to demonstrate for once and all his true character and what he believed and what he hoped for you and I. What is to be ashamed of in that? We can't be ashamed. And there's lots of temptation to be ashamed. We're called to be eager. We're called to understand ourselves as under obligation. We are not ashamed of the gospel. It is, Paul says, the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for it is in the righteousness of God and in that gospel that it is revealed through faith, for faith, as it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. We believe that in the end, those who do not know Jesus Christ, when they die, there is a place of eternal separation and pain. We are under obligation to share salvation. We have no right to be ashamed of it. For it is in that the power of God resides. is in through the Son, Jesus Christ, our Holy Savior. I'm going to close this Memorial Day. Paul's words to the Philippians. Please listen. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as garbage in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own, based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith and trust, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that if possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or that I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And friends, this Memorial Day, that is our call. We remember all those who went before us, but we press on toward Jesus Christ who calls us. Amen, church? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You this wonderful day when we as Your people can celebrate here in this place that others have crafted for us, and even some here. We celebrate their life and their work, and we remember them with joy because what they have done will lead us to You. And so, Lord, this day we give You thanks and praise and all honor and glory for what You have done, what You are doing, and what You are about to do with us. In Your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Congregation, thank you for your time that you've shared today. Family members, all of you, and friends, thank you for being with us this day. Don't forget, we do want you to take these roses there. The team is going to lead us in one more song. And before you do, what time is church next Sunday?
9:45.
All right, good. Let's stand and sing.